my life. As we share some questions to ponder and some steps to navigate our own God-sized dream in our personal life and community, then let me ask you, have you found your God-sized dream in your life? What is that? And what gift did you find God has given to you? And how are you going to develop your gift and grow more in your faith journey? And we also talked about a okay place if you are not 100% sure yet. It is a okay place, but we need to make sure we open ourselves, we make ourselves available to God, and we say, God, I'm listening. Speak to me. I know you know me by my name, and you have a plan in my life, and I'm available. I don't know yet, but I love to listen. I'm available to your calling. So let's ponder our God-sized dream in our lives. And today, I have a short video clip, and I want to watch with you. So here, so let's see. Hello. Maybe I will go.
Das hier ist mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät und das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hallo? This is the German Coast Guard. What are you thinking about?
The video called
Horrible, no. Lovely bunch of coconut.
Yes. The video quality was not good, but it's so funny. When a guy asks for help, saying, we are sinking, and then a German Coast Guard, he said, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? When I watched that video clip, I have two things in my mind. The first one was, am I listening to God well, carefully, when God is speaking to me? I gotta try to listen carefully to what God says to me. And every day, we say, we believe God speak to us. Maybe God speak to me one day. Paul, watch out. Watch out. You are sinking. My child, wake up. Then I reply, oh God, am I thinking? Right? And the second one is, what if my neighbors, people around me shout for help, saying, I am sinking. Please help me. Please help me. Do I listen to their shouting? Am I ready to be with them? Am I ready to listen and help them? And Jesus said, go, proclaim the good news in my name. Make disciples of Jesus Christ and transform the world. And we have so many people around us who don't know God's love for them and who don't believe in God, and they might not speak for help in actual voice, but they may be thinking it is not easy. But we need to tell them God is there with them and God is waiting for them. And the good news itself is not simply we say God loves you. Good news itself, we manifest God's love in our action as well. Exodus chapter 3. In that chapter, Moses has a burning bush, last week we have that, I mean, this story. He's 80 years old, and God is telling this 80-year-old man that he is called to go from the land of Midian to back to, Egypt, to be the deliverer, to lead approximately 1 million people in slavery out of Egypt. 1 million people. Can you believe it? 1 million. So here is Moses. His first response, we can find that in verse 11. Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelite out of Egypt?" In other words, God, I'm not that guy. I'm not qualified. Come on, look at me. I'm not the one. And have you ever felt that way? I'm not good at this. I'm not ready for this. I'm not qualified for that, the work you ask me to do. Denial. Denial was his first reaction. And you can imagine what Moses was feeling. I think it's natural, he said, I'm not qualified, because Pharaoh, he presented himself the number one military power in the world. In his time, he was the emperor. And what about the money? Actually, I have some pictures on there, but when my generation, think about super, super rich people, millionaires or billionaires, I think of Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. But I think if I ask Derek and Aaron, they will say Elon Musk, right? But compare to the Pharaoh, they were nothing. The whole empire was his own property. And what about some others? Pharaoh had more power and more money in their economic system. And what about political power? Once Pharaoh said something, that became law. He didn't need any Congress or the Supreme Court. And he was the power in the Egyptian Empire. And now God is calling an 80-year-old man, the shepherd, against the Pharaoh. Then in verse 12, God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. When Moses was afraid, God was saying like, so what? I'm with you. Man, you say you are not qualified? You said the task you are given is too much? I am with you. What God is asking Moses, it is undoubtedly much bigger than what Moses could ever imagine. And we need to learn from this story. God has a great big plan for us that is bigger than what we can imagine. Then Moses asked God, what am I going to tell them? In other words, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know where to begin the work. I don't even know who you are. In Jewish tradition and our belief, Moses, he is one of the greatest leaders, and he is the father of faith. But actually, he didn't know. He didn't have any clear relationship with God until that moment, the burning bush moment, when he became 80 years old. He was a polytheist. Polytheist, Moses, that means he had so many gods. Not capital God. In the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was saturated in the luxurious palace and the pantheon of Egyptian God. And he had to be a prince of Egypt. At the time, Egypt, they had so many gods. And he, as a prince, he would have learned so many kinds of gods Egyptian worshipped. For the first, That was his life for the first 40 years. And the next 40 years of his life, he was in Midian. And his father-in-law was a priest of Midian. The Midians, they were also polytheistic. They had many gods. In their belief, there were so many kinds of gods, just like Egypt. Perhaps, even after learning so many gods in Egypt, he learned so many other characters of God. And now Moses asked, who am I going to tell them about you? Who are you? Who are you? Which one? I know probably hundreds of them. Then which one are you? Am I? What am I supposed to tell them when they ask me your name? Then what did God answer? I am that I am. I am who I am. And what kind of answer is that? Sometimes we want to have a clear answer from God and define who God is. And we try to put God in a box we can understand with our comprehension. But infinite God cannot fully be comprehended by our finite mind and limited languages. And God is telling Moses, I am what I am. I am here. I am existence itself. I'm the God of the universe. I am too big for you to understand. So, guess what? I am the God of the universe. The God of the universe, I am here with you. That is what God talked to Moses. You know what? To me, Moses is the leader and the father of faith, because in our history, in the Bible, he was the first one who believed and who knew the one God, the Almighty God, not one of many, the God. But Moses, he kept denying. And the argument, this argument kept going on in chapter 4. And can you believe God put a call in Moses' life, and Moses spent two whole chapters of the Bible, two chapters, arguing with God back and forth. And here is the tip. When you argue with God, you're not going to win that argument. Moses, he asked, what if? What if? What if? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to what I said? What if? In other words, but. God, they are not going to believe me. And do you remember why he left Egypt? And what Moses was known for in Egypt? Moses committed a murder. He believed if he went back to Egypt, he would have the credibility of a murderer. What is everybody going to say? He was thinking about the past, a dark moment of his life, what he has done in the past. But God is talking about what God will do in the future. See, the problem is we downsize the expectations of what God can do in our lives because of the past or the present. But God's dream, it is about the future. We base those expectations on our own understanding of ourselves, including our past limitation, our failure, our struggles, or some other people's opinion. I told you a couple of times I became an associate pastor when I was 21 years old. I was too young. It was like a local pastor in our denomination. It was my home church. So, I had to preach in front of my parents. My father sat always in the front, first row. And and my mother next, my Sunday school teachers, and midwives who helped my mom giving a birth to me, and my friends. Can you imagine that? Yes, I became a pastor at the age of 21. I was really excited and thrilled for 1 week. But soon, I became horrified, terrified, and stupefied. I didn't know what I was talking about. Then, in a couple of months, I believe God was speaking to me through my father. One day he talked to me, "Paul, you are my son. I love you. But you are not here as my son in this church. You are here as my pastor. You better know that. You better know that. You are not speaking your word, but God's work." That was the moment I said, yes. They know everything what I have done, every word that I spoke, all the failure, I was really naughty boys. They know everything. But what God had in my life was about the future. Yes. Yes. Surely God wants me to do something over my weakness or failure or frustration. And I kept hesitating, but God kept speaking to me, "Do it, do it, do it. I will be with you. I will be with you. And what is your story?" Jesus said, there would be a time for all of us when he would call on us to speak on his behalf. And he said, he would be given the word to say at the moment. But it will not be us speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through us and working through us. It is not about just speaking, but also about working, manifesting our love in Jesus Christ. We may have our own excuses, like Moses, but in verse 11 it says, the Lord says to Moses, who gave human beings their mouths? Isn't it I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you. It sounds like to me, who gave you and me gift, ability, and the dream? Isn't it God? Are you still thinking about the past, or the presence, or weakness? Or do we have hope and expectation in the future? It's going to be about what God will do through you and me. So I want you to relate this story to yours. When was it God spoke to you directly or indirectly through your family, friends, or Sunday school teachers, or neighbors? What was it God spoke to you? You may find your God-sized dream around you, through the people as well. That might be something new. You have never done that before. You can be a Sunday school teacher. We will begin our Sunday school Matthew's meeting soon. You can be a Sunday school teacher. And can you imagine, kids, they are looking at you and learn from you the Word of God. And in our school district, we have a mentor program. I know some of our church members are fantastic mentors to many kids. And there are so many students who are struggling in this pandemic, in their lifetime, not only in their study, but also their identity and future. You may also serve people in our community in so many ways, or the hospital. You may be a cheerleader to healthcare workers and the teachers and frontline workers. And you may serve the people in need with your precious gift. That could be the beginning of your God-sized dream. It could be something beyond my imagination and your imagination. The God has for you with your God-sized dream. So let me just repeat that. What God spoke to Moses, because I believe it is what God speaks to you and me this morning. God says, who gave human beings, you and me, their mouths, our mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Who's going to give us the ability? Who's going to give us gift? Who's going to give us the hand? Who's going to give us vision? That is God. In your ministry, in God's big dream in your life, and in your faith journey, God is present with you. And God says, I have a dream in your life, and nothing is impossible.